Anybody remember what book of the Bible were our lessons are coming from this year? This ABC Kids year. Andrew? Matthew is correct. All right. And as our theme says, Matthew, Kingdom of Heaven. And we're going to be in chapter 9 tonight. And this is going to be kind of a retelling of some things Jesus does during his public ministry. All right, so the first part, I'm just going to dive into it. I'm not going to review any previous lessons, but I am going to remember to advertise Sunday school. Okay? Everybody know we have Sunday school on Sunday morning here at church? 9:30. Yep, 9:30. And if you get here earlier and you're a little hungry, we got a room where they have breakfast and you can have cereal. And it doesn't cost anything. So if you're here a little early and want to have some cereal and then go to Sunday school, and there's a classroom for everybody's age, okay? There's a classroom for every grade in school, okay? So, don't forget to come Sunday to Sunday school. And if you have a Bible, bring your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, tell me or somebody else, and we'll try to find a Bible for you, okay? All right, now let's get right into Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. And getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came into his own city, and behold, some people brought with him a paralytic person lying on a bed. Does anybody know what paralyzed means? Mr. Hughes?
Where, they can't, move.
Yeah. Sometimes people are paralyzed, like, from the waist down, and they can't move their legs. Some people might be paralyzed completely. They can't move their arms or legs. It's a very difficult physical condition to deal with. Okay? So here comes this person who's paralyzed. And what are they going to do? Well, they're going to bring him to Jesus. Okay? And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed person, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 3, and behold, some of the scribes, that's some of the Jewish religious leaders of the time, they saw this, they heard what Jesus said, and they said, "This guy's blaspheming." Because who's the only one that can forgive sins? Yeah, God. God's the only one who can forgive sins. And Jesus just said to this person, "Your sins are forgiven." So these Jewish religious leaders who didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was, they said, "He's blaspheming. He's saying something wrong." But it wasn't wrong because Jesus is indeed God. God the Son. Okay. So Jesus knew what they were thinking. They didn't even say, "Hey, you're blaspheming." They didn't say it loudly, but Jesus knew they were thinking it. And he says in verse 4, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" Verse 5, "For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Rise and walk'?" Okay? Now, if I had the power to heal somebody, and I don't, and I said, "Your sins are forgiven," would there be any, and I don't have the power, obviously, to say, "Your sins are forgiven," but which is it easier to do? If you say, "Rise and walk," then that person better rise and walk. If you're going to prove you have the power to do that. But if you say your sins are forgiven, nobody can see on the inside if that person's sins have truly been forgiven. So at first Jesus says your sins are forgiven, and that upsets them because they think he's blaspheming. But then he says, "Rise and walk." Let's see what happens. Okay, Jesus says your sins are forgiven, but which is easier to say? Or your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk? "But so that you may know," verse 6, "the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed guy, "Rise and pick up your bed and go home." So Jesus told him to get up. Was he able to get up before he met Jesus today? No. Let's see what happens. Now, and when it says Son of Man, that's a term that Jesus refers to himself as. He's talking about himself. Okay? So Jesus says, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home," in verse 6. Verse 7, "And the man rose up and went home." So he healed a person. He healed a person. It was a miracle. Verse 8, "When the crowd saw it, they were afraid and they glorified God who had given such authority to men." Okay? So Jesus did this. Why did he do this? Why did he do this and help this person and heal his paralyzed condition? He has the power to, yeah. Ian? Well, if it's
good to, you probably trusted him.
Yeah, yeah. I think the guy and his buddies that brought him to Jesus, they had faith in Jesus. They thought he could do something to help. But Jesus did this to help that person, but he also did it to show everybody that he is what he says he is. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is able to do all things, okay? He's able to do miracles such as heal a paralyzed person, okay? So Jesus does this to give himself verification. He can tell people, I am who I say I am. Look what I can do. Okay, let's skip down to verse 9. Now he's going to call on Matthew to be a disciple. Verse 9, as Jesus passed on from here, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And what did Matthew do? Did he sit there right on his chair and not get up? Mr. Hughes from the back laying down? He followed him, yes. Okay? And as Jesus reclined at the table, and he rose up and followed him. In verse 10, as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners were there, reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And the Pharisees saw this and said to their disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Okay? You guys know what a Pharisee is? It's one of the Jewish religious leaders. They were supposed to be teaching people the Bible, okay? But instead, they kind of got puffed up and proud about it and thought that they were more important than the people that they were supposed to be teaching and preaching to. And they kind of looked on them with disdain and didn't like them. Oh, look at those rotten sinners out there. Okay, how should we treat rotten sinners? Ian? Huh? I can't hear you. Good deeds, is that what you said? Goodly. Okay, yes, we should treat them with love. Okay, we should treat them with compassion. Okay? We should tell them about Jesus. Okay? But these guys, they were like, huh, look at this Jesus person. He's healing people, and now he's hanging around all these rotten tax collectors and sinners. And they really didn't like the tax collectors because they were collecting taxes for Rome because Rome was in charge of the area at the time. Okay, so they thought tax collectors were just rotten people. Okay? But Jesus, when he heard that, said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. So here Jesus is making the point, you guys think you're well off. They're not spiritually well off. Okay? Jesus says, I came to heal people of their sickness of sin. I came to heal people who will have faith in me and have their sin problem taken care of. Okay? These Pharisees didn't think they had any problems. They were following and doing all their religious rituals, and they thought they were above all the people that they were supposed to be serving, and they didn't need to hear about Jesus. Okay? On the other hand, the people who were following Jesus knew they had a sin problem in their heart, and they needed to follow Jesus to have that sin problem taken care of. Okay? Now we're going to go 18 to 26. Going to skip a little bit through because we're getting short on time a bit. Verse 18, while he was saying things to them, behold, a ruler came and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a blood disorder for 12 years came up behind him and touched him, touched the fringe of his garment. For she thought to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. And Jesus turned and saw her and said, take heart, your faith has made you well. Okay, so he's on his way to see about this daughter that died, and somebody else in the crowd touches his garment, touches his part of his clothing, thinking and hoping that he could help her, and her illness became healed immediately. Okay? Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. Okay, so he's on his way to see one person who's dead. and he gets touched by another person who has faith in him, and she's healed of her disease. Okay? Verse 23, and when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, go away, for the girl is not dead, but she is sleeping. And they laughed at him. They mocked him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand and the girl rose. And the report of this went through all the district. So Jesus rises this girl from the dead. So, sure, it's true. Yes, it is true. He healed a person who was dead and brought her back to life. Okay? That's how wonderful our God is. Sure, it is true. Oh, it's possible if Jesus is the one doing it. It is possible. Yeah. So, he heals the lady who had the blood illness for 12 years just by her touching his garment, his clothing. And then he raises a 12-year-old girl from the dead, okay, to prove he is who he says he is, like I said in the earlier miracle, okay? Now, verse 35, I'm skipping down a little bit. Or no, 27, I went too far. 27, as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men called out to him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. Okay? And Jesus said, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame in all that district. So he heals two men of their blindness. Okay? The miracles are piling up here in chapter 9. Okay? Now, all these people, they had faith that Jesus could help them. Okay? They expected that he was able to help them. Okay? They called him Son of David. They called him by the messianic name. The ruler who had the daughter that died, he came and knelt before him. Okay? These people all had faith. They know that he is the one who can do these things. Okay? Now, lastly, we'll finish up here shortly, verse 35 through 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. There's that word again, kingdom. Okay? And healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Does anyone know what compassion means? Anybody know what compassion means? If I say I have compassion for you, yes, Ian? Yeah, but it's not just love. It's love that gets busy and does something about it. It's love that says, "I want to help. How can I help you?" Okay? It's one thing to sit there and say, "Oh, I love you." But what are you going to do for that person to show that you love them? Okay? And Jesus had a heart for these people. He loved them. He had compassion for them because they were being harassed and they were helpless and they were like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't have good teachers teaching them the scriptures. Okay? They didn't have good teachers teaching them the scriptures and teaching them God's word. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into a harvest." What does all this labor and harvest mean? He's making a farming analogy, okay? When you grow crops like corn or whatever, you have to have machines or people that can pick the crops, that can pick the corn, okay? And he's comparing the lost sinners out there who don't know Christ. He's comparing them to a harvest. They're there. We just have to go and minister to them and teach them and tell them about Jesus. So we need more laborers, okay? And that's even true today. We need more Sunday school teachers. We need more pastors. We need more church members who have compassion and love for others, who want to tell them the truth in God's word. Okay? And one day, maybe you'll be a member of the Addison Baptist Church. And one day, maybe you can be a Sunday school teacher or an ABC Kids teacher or a pastor. Okay? Maybe you'll grow up and be a missionary. Okay? But there will be jobs for you. And you'll want to pattern your behavior like Jesus. Now, you obviously won't have the ability to heal sick people, but you can pray and ask God to heal them, okay? So that's what Jesus' ministry was. Yes, he was helping others, but he was proving that he was who he said he was, okay? So where are you guys in this equation, okay? Do you believe that God created the world? Do you believe that Christ went to the cross and died on the cross and paid for your sins? and was buried and rose from the dead himself. Not only did he raise that 12-year-old girl from the dead that day, he raised from the dead himself after he was crucified on that cross. We have a holiday for it. We call it Easter. That's what we're celebrating on Easter. Easter's not really about the Easter bunny. Yes, it is. It's about Jesus rising from the grave. No, sweetheart. It's about Jesus rising from the grave. Okay? Quiet down now. Quiet down. Quiet down now. So I invite you to think about these things, okay? Maybe you can ask Mr. Dewberry or ask Pastor Pittman if you have questions about these things. But that's why we have church. That's why we have ABC Kids and Sunday School, okay? So we can tell men and women and boys and girls the truth from the Bible about Jesus, okay? Thank you for your time and attention. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll be all done, okay? Thank you very much for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this lesson time we've had in Matthew chapter 9. Please bless each of these girls and boys and their families. Lord, please save souls if it would be your will. Please forgive us of our sins. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.